Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Fast Facts, the podcast where we bring in experts to tell us facts fast. I am your host, Abram Brown, and for today's episode, we have a blue whale expert swimming in our midst, Mr. Jack Bernhardt. Welcome to Fast Facts.
Well, thanks for having me, Abram. Very excited to tell you about the largest animal this planet has ever seen.
Well, butter me up and call me a biscuit. Sounds like a good one. Go ahead and take it away, Mr. Bernhardt.
Thanks, Abram. The blue whale, also known by its scientific name, Balaenoptera musculus, is organized into the infraorder of cetaceae, or mammals that are marine and live completely within water. They are further divided into a suborder referred to as mysticetii, or whales that do not have teeth, rather baleen plates in their mouth. This suborder also helps us identify the blue whale as carnivorous mammal that filter feeds mostly on krill. Even further, they belong to the family Balaenidae, or Rorqual whales. The Rorqual whales are identified by their ability to hold thousands of gallons in their mouths through container-like apparatuses called pleats. These pleats are helpful because they hold the large creature's food.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Buddy, you're telling me this thing has, like, what, 15 names? I thought it was just the blue whale.
Abram, you silly little goose. Every living species on Earth has a lot of names. It helps us classify animals scientifically without the boundaries of language.
Huh. It's funny you mention that, because my best friend Robert, he says that we need to develop more boundaries.
His name is Robert? Is he perhaps the same Robert who was the first to publish descriptions of the blue whale in his book Phalaenologia Nova in 1692?
I don't think so.
Well, that would be time traveling, Abram. And speaking of time traveling, let's go back to the start of where these bad boys come from. One can trace back the blue whale's lineage hundreds of millions of years ago to the first mammals. However, the true diversification of these mammals began only about 50 million years ago with the mammal Pachycetus. Pachycetus describes a genus of amphibious mammals that thrived roughly 50 million years ago. Appearing only about 14 million years after the grand extinction of the dinosaurs, this genus was the first identifiable direct ancestor of the blue whale. The Pachycetus was an amphibian-like mammal that had a carnivorous diet of mostly fish and had a very distinct skull that resembles whales that we see today. Fast forward a few million years, we begin to see more fully aquatic mammals. The genus Basilosaurus finally appeared about 45 million years ago and will remain dominant as one of the largest sea creatures for millions of more years. But about 15 million years ago, the Balaenoptera whales, as we know them, began to appear and took that title from them.
So, like, just how big are we talking?
Well, most whales end up being about 80 to 100 feet long, with the longest whale ever recorded being about 108 feet long. They also clock in at about 200 to 300,000 pounds, with the heaviest being about 440,000 pounds. But mind you, this is just what we have seen. There could be larger ones out there. To visualize the true size of these animals, picture three school buses lined up in a row that weigh about as much as 30 African bush elephants.
Huh, well, it's not like size matters or anything.
Well, in this case, it does. Remember when I talked about it being a baleen whale? Well, the larger this particular animal is, the easier it is for it to filter feed large amounts of krill.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. How exactly does that work?
The action of feeding for Balaenoptera musculus is rather straightforward. As stated before, the blue whale uses baleen as a filtration mechanism to filter vast quantities of water in the pursuit of krill. One could think of it as a close and catch system similar to that of any other fish cage traps. The blue whale will swim in the direction of the krill and trap as many as it can in its mouth, then push the water through its baleen plate or pleat. The krill are trapped inside as a result. Most days, the average blue whale consumes anywhere from 1 to 3 tons of krill a day.
Holy smokes, that's a lot of krill. Talk about a shrimp buffet. But now that you mention that, that kind of reminds me of the scene in Finding Nemo where Dory calls the whale over and they get sucked into the whale's mouth.
It's funny that you mention that because Dory's calls were not that far off to how we understand them today. To further understand how they communicate with one another, one must first look to understand the different sounds they make. Much like how a human can change pitches when they speak, A blue whale can change its different vocal tones for how they want to communicate. Scientists identify these calls as being A calls, B calls, or D calls, or pulsed calls, tonal calls, or downswept calls, respectively. These different calls are used individually or combined to communicate different signals amongst other whales in their pod. For instance, a blue whale might make an A-B song when traveling alone, but males and females together might be using short A-B calls when in pairs. Scientists associate these short A-B calls with mating and individual recognition amongst each other. D calls were associated with foraging amongst individuals in a pod foraging together. However, D calls were rarely, if ever, heard from lone individuals even while they were foraging. On the other hand, A, B, and AB calls were heard from both male and female whales, but certain AB calls were used solely by males. Although scientists have a pretty good idea on what these calls are used for, it is still difficult to pin exactly which calls to either male or female. But scientists seem to understand the general idea behind these calls, which includes sonar echolocation, feeding, mating, or sometimes just a call out to the deep blue ocean for reasons we do not quite understand.
Huh, that's truly fascinating. So I think to finish off our time today, is there anything you could tell me about the current state of affairs for whales and the rest of the world?
Of course I can. Sadly, whales were listed on the endangered species list by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in 2018. The decrease in their numbers is largely due to plastics in the ocean, illegal hunting, and the warming of the Earth's oceans. On top of this, certain studies have found that anthropogenic sonar waves disrupt the behavior of blue whales in their calling. For instance, when a ship is using sonar, whales were noticed to have completely stopped their calling while the ship was around. In other situations, blue whales were seen trying to avoid these ships or simply remaining stagnant until the sonar dissipated for the whale. Either way, these sonar waves actively disrupt the whale's behavior in the wild. The implications and consequences are not quite understood, and currently more studies are ongoing to show exactly how negative an effect these sonar waves have on the species.
Wow. Who would have thought that blue whales were that complex? That seems to be all of our time we have for today. Thank you, Jack, for stopping by.
And thanks for having me on, Abram.